Hey, everybody. Welcome to TardyCast. I am so excited to do this again with you as we all learn about leadership and we learn about students and our students and working with students. I'm just so excited to do this today. We're going over something we've gone through before. If you've listened to TardyCast, the last one, or you know, a couple ones ago, there was a whole deal we did with Buddy Mendez, and it was all his kind of keynote talk that he did for one of our parent nights about the three circles. So I got him back here to kind of go over. So for the next 3 weeks, we're going to actually learn more from Buddy specifically about the three circles. And he's actually here with me right now.
Yes, I am.
We're recording this in my office. A lot better than the old podcast we used to do.
Much better view.
Yeah, way better view. You can see the chapel from here. You can kind of sort of see the yellow of the new community center. It's a pretty good deal. So, buddy, how's everything going?
Everything's going good. It's great to be here again.
Yeah, you're pretty great. The reason the three circles is so important, and no one's asked me yet, like, why are we talking about this so much? Mm-hmm. But this is what we use to train every leader. It's what we use to train leaders when we go to camps. Our volunteers, they know this. We train it for every life group, so life group leaders have this. But it's important for parents. Why? Why is it important for parents to know this method of having conversations with their kids?
Yeah, this is a really simple, straightforward method that can help parents understand their teens. And it's very important that teens feel known by their parents and understood. And, you know, the Bible says that understanding is a fountain of life to those who have it. And our teenagers really crave this kind of understanding from their parents and to be known by their parents fully and then to be loved for what their parents discover about them. So, you know, teenagers really want their parents to be very curious about who they are rather than telling them who they should be. And this technique really gets at that. This technique really helps to just convey, I want to get to know you rather than I want to give you a lecture. I want to tell you what you need to do with your life. I want to give unsolicited advice, or I want to tell you what you're doing wrong and how to do it right. Well, so this is something that feels really good for the heart of a teenager.
Well, hold on. So for the parent out there who's listening, or the leader out there who's listening, who's saying, well, buddy, you just ran through the classics of how I was parented.
Like, that's right.
All those things you just said, that's what my mom and dad did. And do you know what? And I hear this from parents, and I think I've even said it once or twice. You know what, though? But I turned out fine. So what? And, you know, we could have a whole hour talking about what turning out fine means or what the whole year, but they're like, my parents didn't do this stuff. This seems like a lot of extra work. How much is this really going to help? How is this going to move my family or move my parenting or my relationship with my kids forward if I do this and I don't do the things that my parents did, which are those things I like to call the classics?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, there's a time and a place for everything. And certainly there's a time for giving advice, and there's a time for guiding your children and instilling your values in them. And that just kind of comes naturally. What we're talking about with these three circles is something that doesn't come so naturally to parents. It's very different, but it is very helpful. And it does make a difference in the relational connection that we have with our teens. We have a much better relationship with our teens. I was just talking to a parent the other day, and she was lamenting how she was going to be going out with her girlfriends, and dad was going to be home, and her daughter was going to be home. And she said to the daughter, why don't you go out to dinner with dad? And the daughter, teenage daughter, said, why would I want to do that? And so this is a daughter that's been given good values. She's been given good teaching, good direction. Her parents are modeling, you know, living the Christian faith. But she lacks a deep relationship with her father. Now, compare that to the other day, I invited my daughter to a hockey game. And she had already made plans to go to church with her boyfriend. And she literally canceled her plans with her boyfriend to go to church because she wanted to go to the hockey game with dad. And that relationship connection that I have with her has a lot to do with the fact that I've gone through these three circles with her many, many times. And she knows that I do want to know her and I value the person that I get to know. So it's incredibly helpful to have these kinds of interactions with your teens.
before we get into talking about the, we're talking one every week. So this week we're talking about Get the Story. So before we get into talking about Get the Story, let me ask you this. And so the parent that's listening, that's thinking, well, what if I don't do it right the first time? All right, I'm going to test this out. Have you always done it perfect? Have you always nailed this, or this is something you're still learning? You know,
no, you're always going to be missing things. But that's fine, because it's not so important that you do this perfectly, but that the teenagers see that you truly have a heart that says, I'm curious about you. I want to get to know you. So even if you don't do the micro skills and the basic counseling skills perfectly, there is a sense that the teenager will get that you're kind of adopting a different stance. It's a stance that says, I'm going to let you lead the conversation. I'm going to follow. And because I want to get to know you, that's much more important than actually nailing the techniques. And the other thing is, the more you, just like anything else, the more you do this, the more natural it'll feel, the better at it you'll get.
That's great. All right. So we're talking about the three circles. Mm-hmm. We are learning now. So we are now learning, moving into learning mode. I feel like every time we talk about this, I still walk away learning something from you, because this is just so good. So I'm a parent, I'm driving, I'm jogging, I'm walking my dog, I'm in the car, I'm somewhere, and I'm about to learn how to get the story from my kid. What posture am I going into to get the story? And I know the answer to this, so I don't want to steal your thunder. What character am I playing when I'm trying to get the story?
Yeah, you're going to imagine yourself to be like a journalist, and you're trying to get a feature story on your son or daughter. And that's a great posture to take, that you're inquisitive and you're curious, and you want to know the story without having any need to judge the story. So you're taking a curious approach, but not a judgmental approach. And you're taking an approach that says, I want to really listen well, and I want to kind of bite my lip if I tend to be more of a talker. And I want to take the posture of a listener rather than someone who's talking. I talk about getting mileage out of your kids. The more they talk, the more mileage you're getting, the better the process will be.
Well, buddy, you know, you're already losing me, buddy. You know, I'm a fixer. Like, yeah. If my kid says they have a problem, or if I can sense, my spidey parent sense they have a problem, I want to fix the problem immediately. I'll let them. I should let my kid talk for a few minutes and then give solutions immediately, right? That this sounds so different from what I'm naturally wired to do.
Yeah, it is. It's very different. And oftentimes what I see is parents get so anxious when they identify a problem that they can offer a fix to, that they end up only getting half the story. So they're actually offering a fix or a solution to a problem that isn't really even there, because they've only heard half the story. So when we say get the story, it's very important to get the whole story first. And that requires patience. And you have to resist the temptation to jump in, interrupt, and offer a quick fix.
So for someone who they hear journalist and they didn't grow up being a journalist.
Yeah.
Here's a couple of things, and we have this. So this three circles thing, that we're both looking at this. We're sitting in my office. We're both looking at this. You wrote this. We put some graphic design to it. We have this in the back of every leader's curriculum. So leaders, every book of curriculum you have from junior high, we have a page in there in the very back, the three circles. It's in every leader training book. We have copies of it. We're going to put a link to this in the show notes so parents can go on and download this. But some of the examples you give, just to put the mindset of a journalist.
Yeah.
Asking questions. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I was actually a journalist in high school and college, and I was taught to ask certain kinds of questions to make sure that I get the story. And those questions are who, what, when, where, why, and how. So if you ask those kinds of questions, you're probably going to get the complete story.
I say it because I know me, even as a pastor, I still want to. I default to my male brain, and there's probably a lot of females out there too. It's not a gender thing. But you hear a problem, you want to fix it. It's like, right. Oh, I got a problem. It's like, oh, I got a solution. Mm-hmm. I've never met a problem that I don't have a solution for that I like.
Right.
So this is not that. This is the asking questions, trying to get the story.
Yeah, this is about the way I think about it is, you know, there are times and places to identify a problem and solve a problem. But, and usually that's when you have a problem with your child's behavior, that you have to identify the problem and give them a solution. This technique is very useful when you sense that your teenager is struggling with something, that they're wrestling with something, that they've got some thoughts going on in their head that are kind of swirling around, and they're looking for someone to connect with around that. And so what I talk about is sometimes it's more important to solve the relationship rather than solve the problem. And solving the relationship means that you forego your kind of knee-jerk reaction or your reflexive tendency to jump into problem solving, and you focus on building the relational connection and, in a sense, solving the relationship, increasing safety so that your teenager says, my mom, my dad is a safe haven that I can run to when I'm struggling. They listen well. They don't judge. They don't criticize. They don't condemn. They don't lecture. They just are with me in the midst of what I'm going through. And what you'll find as parents is that oftentimes when you create this kind of safe, secure-based environment for your teenager, they will come up with a very good solution on their own, which really boosts their sense of self-confidence.
So I'm the parent. I notice something's wrong with my kid. I'm an aware enough parent to know that maybe my kid's not going to, you know, tell me every little thing that's happening. So I kind of sense that something's happening, and I sit down. You know, so I'm the parent who this is new to me. How do you even start this off?
Yeah,
so
that's a great question.
I'll be the kid. Just give me like a little, like I'm the kid. I'm 13, 14-year-old, 11-year-old, you know, whoever, girl, boy, whatever. Mm-hmm. And you, the parent, can tell that something's wrong with me. And you want to provoke that conversation where you can even start going through this. Because sometimes, you know, the problem for me is that what's the right scenario to sit down with a kid to have one of those open up, tell me what's going on moments? Mm-hmm. You know, you take them out for a burger. You say, hey, let's have son-daughter time. Let's have father-son time. And you get in the car and go for a drive. Like, what's the scenario, the prime scenario to get a conversation like this off the ground?
Yeah, I love that question. What I would say is you follow the lead of your teen. And so you're going to have that conversation right here, right now, whenever your teen says something that indicates to you, here's an opportunity to go through the three circles. Here's an opportunity to build on that relational connection. It might be in the hallway. It might be in the laundry room. You might be driving in the car. You might be standing outside in the alleyway. Wherever you are, boom, that's where you engage in the three circles. You don't say to your teen, whoa, this is really important. Let's go out to coffee and talk about it. They won't have anything to say. When they bring up a little phrase, let's say they might say, I hate my biology class. Mm-hmm. Okay, that is inviting me to have a discussion with them. And I'll say something simple like, well, tell me why you hate the class. What's been going on lately in that class? How do other students feel about it? Is it more about the teacher? Is it more about the content? What could it be about? And so they'll usually just kind of do a really short little phrase. They'll disclose something, or they'll have a gesture, and then you just kind of go into that little wedge and you open it up through the right kind of questions, or just reflecting back to them what you hear them saying. Wow, you know, it seems like this class is really, really frustrating you. And if you just say that, a lot of times they'll then continue to say more about whatever's bothering them.
And you just said the right kind of questions. And just to be clear, the right kind of questions are the who, what, when, where, why, how,
exactly.
Journalist, investigator, give me details, I want to listen. Okay.
Yeah.
Those are the right kind of questions.
Yeah. And one thing you want to be careful about is you want to avoid what we would call an interrogation. So an interrogation is where you ask a question, they give an answer, you ask a question, they give an answer, you ask a question, they give an answer. It's just questions and answers. What you want to do is you want to weave in what I call reflections of content, reflections of feeling, or even a directive that says, you know, tell me more about it. So a reflection is just simply where you summarize what you hear them saying in your own words. And you may think that that may not lead to them continuing to talk, but oftentimes it does. So if I ask a question about, what is it about biology? Well, my teacher is unfair and he's too hard. He gives too much homework. And I say, well, how does that make you feel? And it's really frustrating. And it feels like I can never get caught up. At that point, instead of maybe asking another question, I might do a reflection, just a statement of what I see. Wow, it seems to me like you feel like you can't ever get to a place where you feel comfortable with keeping up with the workload. Am I getting that, and that it's frustrating for you? And then they'll continue to talk. So you do want to use those micro skills of reflections in addition to the questions, and then you can use a directive. Well, tell me more about what it's like to not feel caught up in the class. Tell me more what it's like to see your friends in a class that seems same level class, but it seems much easier than the class that you're in, and how that seems unfair. Tell me more about that. So that's more of a directive or reflection, and you want to blend those in with your questions so it doesn't feel like an interrogation.
All right, let me reference two quick things before we wrap this up, because I feel like getting the story, I feel like this is so clear. It's not about offering advice at this point. It's not about offering solutions. It's not about offering, consequences or choices. It's just about you as a parent, as a leader, whether this is a life group or you're at camp or your parents sitting around. So when, we talk about I feel like getting the story, I feel like we understand this. We can go back and we can listen, re-listen, and understand the getting the story. The investigator, the journalist. Let me ask two questions, and these are the ones that I know parents are going to think about. Well, buddy, you said that I should, if my kid or I notice something, I should stop and, have that conversation. But, buddy, what about if I have a softball game I got to get to? Buddy, what about if I gotta, I gotta go to this errand, this yoga class thing, or I gotta do this? Are you saying that I should just drop what I'm doing to give this my attention? Because I feel like I could just book this or schedule it, or we could do it later. You're saying that I should drop what I'm doing and make this my priority at the moment?
Mm-hmm. Well, it really depends on the kid. And, if you believe that you have a kid who's going to bring this up again, if you say, I've got to get to yoga class or I've got to go to the softball game, but I do want to talk to you about this later, and you think you've got the type of kid that when you bring it up later, they'll go into it no problem, and you know what those kids are like, go for it. Go to the softball game, go to the yoga class, and then bring it up later. You're fine. Sometimes we will have those kids that we really suspect if we don't engage in that conversation, we're going to lose it. And in those cases, we may decide as parents to prioritize the relational connection over and above the appointment or the task that we're trying to get to. So it's case specific. But what you'll find is that sometimes those kids who don't talk very much, they don't open up very much, they will bring these things up at kind of inopportune times, in a sense, because they really want to know how interested you are. And if you drop what you're doing, even when it's pretty important to listen to them, that will mean a lot to them.
Yeah. And I mean, speaking from the youth pastor side, I talk to kids all the time. And I mean, I was a kid at one point.
Yeah.
I remember the times where I had like a thing going on and my mom dropped stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I remember those times. They just stick out of my mind far more than the just overall flow of life. Like,
yeah.
I can't tell you what my mom's schedule was or, the things that were priorities to her.
Yeah.
But I tend to remember when she dropped what she was doing to make me the immediate priority, even if it was inconvenient for her. I just remember that. It's just a thing I remember. Here's my second question. Here's my second question. What if my kid's sharing something that mom, dad, radar's going off, and like, this isn't good. So, son, daughter, like, oh, I noticed something's wrong. Like, we start talking about it. Like, what's going on? Tell me more. And the kids were like, well, I don't know if you want to know this, mom, dad, but, one of my friends, Johnny, he's been smoking weed and he's been trying to get me to smoke weed too. And mom, dad radar wants to go off and be like, no, we can't hang out with Johnny anymore. So first, before we say anything else, no more hanging out with Johnny. Do we hold in, so I guess what the question is, do we hold in the mom, dad radar discipline, boundary making during this process? Do we save that till the end? Or if we are inclined to immediately respond with, oh, well, you can't hang out with him anymore. Like, let's keep going with the story. but let me just, you know, interject these edicts or these disciplinary feelings or these, you know, what do you, how do you respond to that? How do you do that?
Yeah, I talk about the three roles that we operate out of as parents: counselor, comforter, and authority. And when we're going through counselor,
comforter,
and authority. Yeah. So, you know, authority has to do with the discipline. Comforter has to do with how we can comfort and soothe our kids when they're anxious and distressed. And the counselor is the one who builds relational connection through this kind of a process of going through the three circles. And I don't like to mingle the three roles. So when I'm parent as counselor and I'm going through the three circles, I'm just going to be parent as counselor. So what I would do is I would completely go through the three circles. I would get the story fully. I would explore the internal world, thoughts, feelings, and meanings. I would ask my son or daughter what options they have for dealing with the dilemmas that they're facing. What is their next step? Once I'm done with that, then I would talk about problems that I might have in relation to what I'm hearing. Now I'm in the role of parent as authority. And so I might say, hey, I have a problem with you hanging out with friends who are smoking weed. So I just want to let you know that I'm not in favor of you inviting that person over to our house or spending the night or something like that as a way of setting a boundary. And I want to remind you that any kids you do hang out, I want to meet their parents. I want to know their parents. I want to know that kid. So once you identify that now you have a problem, you're moving from the role of parent as counselor to parent as authority, and then you come in and do your boundary setting and your limit setting and protecting your teenager from harm. So it's a timing issue.
Timing. It's so good. So parents, I hope that leaders, I hope you love this, because this plays at home when you're walking on, you know, Deuteronomy 6, right? We're raising our kids up to be, you know, the followers of the Lord, you know, the whole thing. And, you know, as we go to sleep and as we wake up and as we walk along the road and we're nailing it to the doorpost of our house. Like, so parents, like, this is anywhere you are. Leaders, this is at life group, at camp. This is just go hanging out at JHM, going surfing. Like, this is you can incorporate this anywhere, getting the story, being the journalist. Buddy, thank you so much for going over this. We have 2 more weeks of this. This is going to be great. Thanks so much for making the time. Parents, leaders, I hope you dig this. Share it with your friends. Let them know there's more to come with this. We're going to have some stuff in the show notes below so you can download the document, the three circles document we're talking about. And you know, go onto iTunes, leave a review, leave a 5-star review. That helps us get the word out to other parents and make it a priority for other parents and other leaders to see this and be like, oh, this is a good thing. Share your input. We'd love to see it. We love 5-star reviews on iTunes. I'm a big fan of those. So check it out when you get some time. Enjoy your week. We'll see you guys later. Parents, we love you guys. Remember, TardyCast, do not be late to leadership. We're here to help you out. So have a good one. God bless. Bye-bye.